welcome to the only show you need to get you through your Thursday, to get you through this coronavirus crisis. In a world where few things are reliable, we are reliable. So Jason Rancher, we're live on AM 770 KTTH and 94.5 FM on the Greater East Side. Got a lot to get to. We only have 3 hours to do it. Business owners are growing more and more nervous and angry as Governor Jay Inslee is botching the economic phase-in plan. Kayleigh McEnany, the new White House press secretary, absolutely school CNN's Jim Acosta, plus riots take over Minneapolis in the George Floyd murder. We're going to get into that story and so much more. This hour of the Jason Rancher was brought to you by Alpine Specialty Cleaning. Lots of news is happening all around the world and right here at home, so let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? The economy.
Now is the time to reopen the economy. It is time right now for Governor Jay Inslee to reopen Washington State's economy. Our businesses are struggling. People are struggling. People are ready to go back to work. Snohomish County is pushing to reopen faster. Nate Nehring is going to be on the show. He's the county councilman. Council chair at 3:30. Pierce County Executive Bruce Dammeyer wants the county to reopen safely. He's going to be joining us live at 5:30. Individual mayors from Sumner and Bonnie Lake, from Everett and Sultan, they want us to reopen safely and responsibly. Now is the time. The science is clear. The data is clear. You can safely reopen. Here is the actual data. Here is data that Governor Jay Inslee doesn't want to tell you. This is data that he loves to say he's all about. He crows about being all about the data and the science, doesn't actually tell you any. So here's the data. 90% of coronavirus deaths are Washington individuals over the age of 60. 90% of deaths are folks living in Washington. They got hit with the coronavirus, and of course it was a tragedy, but they died over the age of 60. Of that number, over half of the deaths are over the age of 80. And all of the deaths across Washington State, 60% occurred in elder care facilities. That's the data. Here's the science. The most vulnerable population to the coronavirus are elderly people. It is, of course, even more dangerous when someone has a pre-existing health condition. I know that Jay Inslee doesn't want us to discuss this data, this science, but his angry and meandering rants don't intimidate me, because this is what I do. This is my world. I'm the one who rants. The data and the science on the demographics most vulnerable to the coronavirus should be used to safely reopen the economy while protecting the vulnerable. Now, Governor Jay Inslee says by simply acknowledging this data and taking a position of safely reopening, responsibly reopening, you somehow want to cast the elderly off to a desert island to die alone. I think the technical word to what he's doing there is stupid. It's stupid. It is a ridiculous straw man argument that he has set up. It's straw man because literally no one is making that case. No one is arguing what he claims is being argued. When folks on both sides of the aisle are coming together and speaking very clearly, it should send you a message that this is not conservative versus liberal. This is Washingtonians standing up side by side with 6 feet in between, asking us to reopen safely because there are businesses out there that are getting more and more anxious. And you know what? They're concerned because they were told 2-ish weeks ago, 3-ish weeks ago that they were going to open in phase two in the first week of June. But clearly that's not going to happen anymore.
I would love to be able to tell you exactly what the plans are, but we're still developing them. We do not believe that every county will be able to move forward phase two on that particular date.
That is him telling folks, particularly in Snohomish, Pierce, and King counties, you're not going to open. The vast majority of people who are listening to me right now, you likely live in a county that is not going to be allowed to get into phase two next week.
It's just so important that we have that type of communication where we have clarity on where do we go from here.
That's Palacia. She is with PCL Salon Studio in Seattle. She started calling clients, confirming their appointments would start next week. She was so pumped to be able to get her business back up and running again. But now she tells Como she doesn't think she's going to be opening and she doesn't know exactly what she's supposed to do.
It kind of puts you on edge. We're depending on the governor and then people are depending on us. And so if we are misinformed or don't have the information we need, we're ill-equipped.
This is a governor who is not communicating with anyone effectively. He's not. I know he does his press briefings, but he doesn't really say anything. He doesn't really say anything, and when he's asked a direct question by the media, he doesn't answer directly. He goes off on tangents because he doesn't have a plan. You know, she asks, where do we go from here? Well, unfortunately, you can't go to unemployment because there's still tens of thousands of Washingtonians who still haven't received a call, let alone an unemployment check to at least say the money's on the way. These people are struggling. These business owners are struggling. You have city leaders. We talked with Mayor Nehring, John Nehring, out in Marysville three-ish weeks ago. He, alongside other smaller city mayors, sent a letter to the governor saying, please, it doesn't make sense to treat Marysville or Sultan or Monroe the same way as a Seattle or even a Tacoma. Can you let us reopen? You know what the response was from Governor Jay Inslee? Nothing. He said nothing. He didn't even acknowledge getting the letter. That's not leadership. That's political cowardice. That's someone who doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know how to answer the questions that are being posed to him, so he completely ignores them, hoping that the questions will stop being asked, that these people will go away. But you know what? They're not going to go away. We are not going to go away. Every single day on this show, every single day on our social media accounts, every single day on our blogs over at KTTH.com, between me and Todd, we will be asking these questions. We will be pushing you to give us an answer, Governor Inslee. And the way that we're going to be successful at this is making sure that you guys are helping amplify our message. We already get to amplify our message because we're behind a microphone, right? I get to write a blog. I get to post it on our Twitter feed, our Facebook feed. I still need your help. If you believe, as I do, that right now we can safely reopen this economy, protecting the most vulnerable, going out of our way to protect the most vulnerable, while making sure that our businesses don't fail, that our economy doesn't stay closed any longer, here's what I need you to do. Text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. And I'm going to send you a link to my blog on this very topic for you, not just to read, please do, but share on your Facebook wall, on your Twitter feed, on your LinkedIn account. Send it to your friends and family. Post it in any message boards that you're on. I learned how to Reddit today. I've got a flare now.
Good job. I'm so proud of you.
I don't know what that means, but I got a flare now on Reddit, which I think means I have good hair, like flare.
No, not even close.
But I got it.
You have it.
I have it now. We need to take these messages and we need to amplify. This is a governor who does not like getting called out, and the more of us that get together to call him out, the more effective we're going to be. So text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to the number 1-800-465-8770. Now, if you don't think we should reopen now, if you don't think it's the right move right now, that's okay. You don't have to text me. And anyone, at any point, when we do reopen, you don't feel comfortable going out, you don't have to go out. But if you're in this same boat as I am, wanting to get our economy back up and running, text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Big picture.
So everyone, of course, is talking about what happened last night in Minneapolis. Riots. Destruction. Protests. After video surface of a cop slowly killing a man. And yes, he killed this man, George Floyd. It was sloppy policing. It was deadly policing, where the cop put his knee on the man's neck until he couldn't breathe. He ends up dying. the outrage as a result of what happened and what was caught on that video is not just warranted, it is justified. And I hope this cop is charged. I am someone who is incredibly, incredibly biased in favor of police. We proudly, proudly back the blue on this show. I am loyal to cops to a fault. I acknowledge that. That is my bias. There is no justification for any cop to do what that cop did to George Floyd while he was there in handcuffs, was not resisting, and as a result, he died. This was an innocent life lost. I saw some folks last night on Twitter say, he was resisting. I've not seen any video that shows he was resisting, but let us assume he was resisting arrest before being put in handcuffs. That has no bearing whatsoever on what the cop did afterwards. He was not resisting while in handcuffs. And when you've got that handcuff on him and he's clearly just laying there saying he can't breathe, you don't put your entire body weight on the back of a suspect's neck. Period. Full stop. President Donald Trump asked the DOJ and the FBI to expedite the investigation into this. I'm glad that he did that. I'm glad that he did that. As of right now, the Minnesota governor has activated the National Guard because of the protests that we saw last night where there was a lot of destruction. Unfortunately, this conversation is now unnecessarily complicated by a whole bunch of bad faith actors in this. Because I would love to be able to just have a conversation about why what that cop did was wrong and focus on that so it doesn't happen again. That would be my preference. Unfortunately, I can't do that right now. Because I'm seeing bad faith actors on, frankly, both sides pushing their nonsense. That's what people do. They exploit tragedy for their own political agenda. You've got some people saying, wait for the autopsy to see what killed this man. I don't need to wait for the autopsy. It's on video. We know what happened. There was no justification for that. Then you've got people who are pretending that this is happening every single day. Every single day they say this is happening. Black men are being targeted by white cops. Murder is happening every single day. You can't even walk outside without a cop shooting you to death. They want you to believe that. Not only, of course, is that message inaccurate, it is dangerous. That is a deeply, deeply dangerous message because it forces you to take a position when you have to interact with a cop that you should not have to take. It forces folks who aren't anti-cop lunatics to have to focus on that message outside of the message of the clear injustice to George Floyd. On the one hand, you've got these privileged white dudes who post memes on Twitter, memes on Instagram, memes on Facebook. I've seen the one, I'm sure you guys have too. Say his name, they say. Say his name, George Floyd. They only post that for social currency. There are so many people who want to give off the impression they care about something that they don't. They want you to think that they are woke, that they care, but they don't. And we need to do our best to separate ourselves from listening to those folks. They like the idea of a black or brown person or a gay or Muslim person or any minority thinking that they have our backs. They don't. It's just condescending. These people show up when it makes them look good on social media. When a cop is shot or attacked, they're silent. You don't hear anything from these folks. When a weekend of violence erupts in Chicago or D.C. or Baltimore, they're silent. When an illegal immigrant rapes a woman in a wheelchair in White Center after being released by a judge who wanted to make sure that she didn't even ask where he came from, they're silent. When Jews are beat up literally every other day in New York and New Jersey, as was the case for months last year, they're silent. But now they're speaking up because they get social currency. They have a tragedy to exploit. Then you've got folks who literally make a living or stay in power off of this lie that cops are wandering the streets of America murdering people with abandon, which, of course, doesn't serve the community that they claim to speak for, that they claim to care for. It literally does the opposite because it makes that community more untrusting of the police, which makes interactions more tense, unnecessarily tense. You've got folks like Maxine Waters, California congresswoman, legitimately insane, giving an interview like this to TMZ.
I think that the officer who had his knee on his neck enjoyed doing what he was doing. I believe sometime some of these officers leave home thinking, I'm going to get me one today. And I think this was his one that he got today.
This is a vicious woman, a rotten woman, to say something like that. She doesn't even believe it, but she knows that she can create unnecessary tension, more than already exists, between the African-American community and cops, and it serves literally no one. Then you've got folks conflating protests with riots. What we saw last night started as a protest. That seems to me appropriate. I don't particularly like participating in protests because I don't think they do anything. I think it's a giant virtue signal when you can actually work really hard for policies that might change whatever it is you happen to be upset with. But certainly that is a right of people, and it can sometimes be effective. What is not appropriate, what is not effective, what is not justified is the looting that we saw. Breaking into businesses, destroying businesses, beating people up, setting fire to structures, throwing things at cops. That is not justified. That is illegal violence. The people who were stealing the televisions from that Target, you think they give a damn about George Floyd? No, they just got a 70-inch flat-screen TV. They don't care. They personally benefited. But there's some folks on Twitter who want to pretend that both are justified. Then you've got a local controversy here, out in Spanaway. You've got a wrestling coach in the district, the Bethel School District, defending the cop, and normally you look at something like this and you wouldn't immediately call the guy a racist, but of course he's being called a racist. He posted a video of himself with someone having their knee on the back of his neck, similar to what we saw with George Floyd. And in the caption of this social media post, I believe it was Facebook, it said, "Not dead yet. I'm doing this for our," he misspells our because he's an idiot, "police officers, the media is a race-baiting machine, and I'm tired of it. I'm going to speak out every time. If you don't like that, I'm sorry, but I love all people. Wake up, America." Now, people immediately called this racist, and now they want him to be fired. He spoke with Como TV.
I'm not a racist man. I don't have that in me. My children don't have that in them. I didn't instill that in them.
So this gym teacher or wrestling coach, his name is Dave Hollenbeck, and he says he didn't intend to offend people. He was just trying to stick up for the cop.
"I'm sorry that I offended anybody. That was not my point. I was trying to show something. I have a specialty in fighting on the ground. And I know that just putting your knee on the back of somebody's neck, to me, I would say that that's not going to lead to death."
Now, because of some folks in the media, they want you to believe that whenever you take a position that is different than the activist position, you are being motivated by racism. Now, I don't have any reason to believe that this guy was motivated by racism. I didn't look at his post and say, that's racist. I looked at it and said, I strongly disagree with his position. He does not know what it is he's talking about. And my position is not based on Republican perspectives. It's not. I think what the cop did in this situation was clearly wrong. He was using the entirety of his body weight on the back of this guy's neck. That is wrong. And something tells me that's not what happened to this gym teacher or this wrestling coach. However, there were parents like Georgine Edwards who was outraged by this. She has two daughters in the district, and she told Como TV,
"Really, quite frankly, sick to know that someone that people trust with their kids was speaking and interpreting such a horrifying situation in the manner that he did."
But you see, he gets to disagree with your position on it. He gets to disagree with my position on it. He didn't do anything that was inherently racist at all, other than take the side of the cop. Now, in this case, I believe he was wrong. In other cases where he defends the cop, I'm sure I probably would have side with him. We had a story based out of here in Seattle last week where a cop, I think, was white. They don't really actually know, the people who have been talking. I don't know. But the cop shot and killed a dude who was chasing someone with a kitchen knife. And then when the cops arrive, the dude turns to the cops, slashes at them, comes dangerously close. They end up shooting at him and killing him. Now, that was clearly justified. 100% of what they did was right. They did nothing wrong there. And yet the local NAACP said this is just another example of a cop killing a black guy. No, it is not. No, it is not. But they are forwarding a very specific agenda, a specific narrative. And what purpose does that serve? I've seen some folks say this is why Colin Kaepernick took a knee. This is why he took a knee. That might have been part of the reason why he took a knee. But you do recall that he called all cops pigs, right? And racist, right? Is that what we now believe? All cops are pigs? All cops are racist? There are going to be instances in which a cop does something wrong, the same way there's going to be an instance in which a lawyer does something wrong, a bicyclist does something wrong, a talk show host does something wrong. Not here, of course. And you should call it out immediately. And if it's, in fact, racist, I don't know, actually, if this case was a case of racism. It was certainly a case of really bad policing that left a man dead who should not be dead. But you've got all of these special interests who are chirping in everybody's ears, and it's getting amplified on social media. What purpose does it serve? Who do they serve? Do you think we're better off having an entire community of African Americans thinking that they should be concerned when they step outside because a cop might shoot them? There's no data to back that up. There's no data to back that up at all. And yet that's what some folks are saying. Why can't we just have a simple conversation about what actually is going on? And in this case, it's not bigger than what actually happened. A bad cop killed someone and is going to be punished. It does not justify the fear-mongering. It does not justify the conspiracy theories on the right, fear-mongering on the left. It doesn't justify destroying a community. But that's just me. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to join the conversation and weigh in. 1-800-465-8770. When we come back, Snohomish County is ready to reopen into phase number two. The only person standing in the way is Governor Jay Inslee. Snohomish County Council Chair Nate Nearing stops by to discuss on the Jason Rant Show. Welcome back to the Jason Rant Show on AM 770 KTTH and 94.5 FM on the Greater East Side. A bipartisan group of leaders in Snohomish County, they're asking the governor to let them enter phase number two so they can actually restart their economy, get people back up and running again. One of the leaders in this group is Snohomish County Council Chair Nate Nearing, who joins me now. Welcome back to the show, Nate.
Hey, Jason. Thanks so much for having me on.
So take us through exactly what it is you're asking.
So tomorrow we're going to be making the case that Snohomish County is ready to enter into phase two of the reopening plan. We'll be joined by our local health officer, Dr. Spitters, and there will be two votes that take place. The first is at the Snohomish Health District, the Board of Health, and then the second is at the County Council. And basically, the criteria which has been set forward by the state are very difficult to meet for a large urban county. But if you take into consideration the data excluding long-term care facilities, we do fall within them. So we're going to be making the case in coordination with our health officer that we are ready to move into phase two of reopening. And we certainly hope that the governor will consider that.
Yeah, and I think it's important to note, again, that this is a bipartisan group. Yesterday on the show, we had Cassie Franklin, mayor of Everett, basically taking the same position you're taking right now. These are Democrats and Republicans coming together saying, look, the rules that are in place right now are just not feasible for a county the size of Snohomish or Pierce. We're hearing from Bruce Stammeyer as well, the executive there. And now's the time to get things up and running. Do you think the governor's going to be receptive?
I hope he will be. You know, to your point, I think now that there's so much widespread support in both parties, and really people are starting to see that small businesses can reopen in a safe way. We've seen large businesses, retailers, and others do it for several months now, and there's no reason we can't allow smaller businesses to do the same thing. And so I think it's a common sense, reasonable approach which prioritizes both public health and economic health. And so I hope that the governor is going to take this into serious consideration.
So when you say the rules that are in place right now are unfeasible, take us through why.
So the criteria that's been set forward for the governor's office in order for counties to enter into phase two is a very high bar. And that can be much easier to meet for a rural urban county. It's very difficult to meet for a larger for a rural, a smaller rural county, but it's much more difficult to meet for a larger urban county like Snohomish or King or Pierce. And so, you know, in late April or in late March, early April, we were looking at 130 cases per day or so. We've gotten that down to now, I think the latest stat I saw was just under 30 cases a day, which is over a 400% decrease. And so I think we've shown that we're making good progress and things are certainly heading in the right direction. But if the expectation is that we're going to get to virtually zero cases or, you know, something very small, I think, you know, we could be waiting for a very long time. And businesses just can't afford to wait that long. Every day and every week that this continues, more and more businesses are permanently closing. Mm-hmm. That's affecting workers. That's affecting families who depend on these wages in order to put food on the table. And so, again, I think it's about making a presentation to the governor, a bipartisan one, that Snohomish County is ready to enter in a safe way into phase two and get some of these smaller businesses reopened in the same way that some of the larger ones have been operating.
And the other thing is, I mean, look, when you look at a city like Index or Sultan or Monroe, it seems unfair to compare it to an Everett. It just, Snohomish County is such a different kind of county where you do have those densely populated cities like an Everett, but then you have the other spots, unincorporated Snohomish County, that haven't been hit nearly the same way.
No, it's exactly right. And I think the same could be said for different areas within those cities. So, you know, long-term care facilities obviously have been hot spots for this. But if you take those out of the equation, like I said, Snohomish County does fall into the criteria, even the pretty stringent criteria that's been set up. And so I think taking those sorts of things into consideration is important when making decisions like this.
You're just joining us. We're talking with Snohomish County Council Chair Nate Nearing. He has a group of bipartisan politicians, both on the right and the left, coming together tomorrow to announce they'd like to be considered for phase two by the governor so they can get the economy back up and running again. When you were on last, we were talking about the budget shortfall. Can you give us an update as to where you guys are thinking that is going to land?
Yeah, so right now our projection shows that for Snohomish County government, we're looking at about a $27 million deficit, and that's a result of a loss of sales tax revenue due to the COVID-19 shutdown. So we've taken some early steps to try to balance our budget early on. That includes a hiring freeze. Mm-hmm. Just recently, we moved into furloughs and canceling or delaying capital projects. And so we do have a plan in place to balance the budget and make the tough decisions which are necessary. And those are decisions that businesses and families are having to make throughout our state. And I think it's really important that government does the same thing and makes those tough choices. And so we're looking forward to continuing to do that.
Although every single day that you wait to restart the economy, the situation gets worse. I mean, the fundamentals of this economy 9, 10, 11 weeks ago were very, very strong. The only thing right now that we know is happening to sort of hit at that is the shutdown. The shutdown is being done by the governor. So at some point, the fundamentals, that strength, they're going to go away and people are not going to be able to afford to spend their money in the small businesses the longer we take.
No, that's exactly right. And another thing to consider is, even if we were to snap back and things start to reopen, there's no guarantee that we're going to go back to where we were. It could be a very slow and gradual process. I've been talking with lots of business owners over the past few weeks, and one of the things that consistently comes up is the lack of consumer confidence. So you've seen a lot of statewide polling showing that even if things were open, you know, people are wary and want to and are not confident right now. And so I think there's a lot we need to do to get our economy back to where it was. But certainly a start is moving into phase two and starting to allow some of these smaller businesses to open up.
Do you think the goalposts are changing from the governor?
I do, yeah. You know, early on, I think that the stated goal was to preserve medical capacity and ensure that our hospitals weren't overrun, which I think makes sense. But then I think that move toward, flattening the curve, now we've more than flattened the curve. We're on the downward trend. Again, if you look in Snohomish County, mm-hmm. the cases have dropped by over 400%. And so I'm at a loss, frankly, now to what the newest goal is. You know, are we going to keep the whole economy shut down until there's a vaccine? I mean, that could take months. It could even take years. And so I think we've got to be a little bit more practical about this. I think that there are reasonable solutions that prioritize both public health and making sure that we're taking care of the most vulnerable to this virus, but also allow our economy to get back in a safe manner by utilizing PPE and physical distancing and other advice. So
What have the conversations been like with the governor up until this point? Because obviously going public in this way, you're kind of putting him on the spot to say yes or no. And, you know, strategically, that's incredibly smart because I don't anticipate him wanting to tell the folks who live in Snohomish County no.
Well, one of the really frustrating things was, you know, several Snohomish County leaders, mayors, and county council members sent a letter to Governor Inslee advocating on behalf of our small businesses, basically saying, look, large retailers have been operating for a while now with these safety precautions in place. Why can't we trust our small businesses to do the same thing so that they can get going? Mm-hmm. And we received zero response. Wow. I think that was 2 or 3 weeks ago. We got nothing, not even an acknowledgement that the letter had been received. And then there was a quote in the paper the other day. The governor's chief of staff basically said that that you know people are overeager and they don't take into consideration the amounts of emails in their inbox from local leaders, and basically just sent the message that they really don't care what local leaders have to think, which I think is really unfortunate because, you know, across the aisle, both Republicans and Democrats in Snohomish County have been working in good faith to try to work with the governor on this and get us to where we need to go. And so, I think it's unfortunate that we haven't received that in return.
Yeah, and you know what? You can feel people getting ready to just reopen. And at some point, if the governor doesn't want to lead on this, folks are just going to reopen, and it's not going to be done in an orderly or safe way. And then that puts us down a path that no one wants to go. It seems right now you can safely reopen without, as Governor Jay Inslee keeps suggesting, wanting to put old people on a desert island somewhere for them to die alone. He keeps changing his metaphors every single week. And just for the record, you don't want to see old people die, right?
No, absolutely not. I mean, you're right. There's large straw man arguments that are being put out there. And I don't know anybody who thinks that we should just, you know, break everything open and not care about old people and not prioritize public health. I think the vast majority of people I talk to say it's important that we take this seriously. Yeah. It's important that we take care of the most vulnerable. But it's also important that we take care of our businesses and workers and families who are being devastated by the economic shutdown. And I think that there's a reasonable way that we can move forward to do that.
100%. I'm glad you're one of the folks who's putting the pressure on the governor. The governor's just not leading on this, and it takes actual leadership, like the leadership that you are involved in right now, to get things moving along. So obviously, wish you the best of luck. We're 100% on your side on this, and we appreciate you stopping by. Again, we've been talking with Snohomish County Council Chair Nate Nehring. Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks, Jason. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. If you want to get my take on this, by the way, if you're ready to reopen the economy, text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. When we come back, Kayleigh McEnany, press secretary for the White House, completely humiliates Jim Acosta from CNN. You're not going to miss it when we come back right here on KTTH. Jason Rand Show live on this Thursday afternoon. Find me on Twitter, twitter.com/JasonRants. I love the new White House press secretary. She is so good. Kayleigh McEnany. She's good because she always comes prepared. And when she comes prepared, it's usually to say gotcha to the dum-dums in the White House press corps. Before I play you this audio where Jim Acosta, dopey Jim Acosta, tries to give hell to Kayleigh McEnany, I want to read to you the breaking news chyron that was on last night during Don Lemon's show. This was the chyron. Breaking news. 100,000 Americans didn't have to die. That was the breaking news. We just got past the 100,000 mark of dead Americans due to the coronavirus. Every single one of them, of course, is tragic, is unfortunate. But it wasn't breaking news 100,000 Americans died. It wasn't breaking news the United States has surpassed 100,000 coronavirus victims. It was breaking news 100,000 Americans didn't have to die. That is not breaking news. That is not news. That is an opinion that CNN is presenting as news. CNN is one of the worst when it comes to breaking news coverage. Fox News doesn't say breaking news. They now do news alerts. They'll say breaking news when it's actually news that is being broken. CNN for opinions, almost always anti-Trump or anti-Republican, they now claim breaking news. So keep that in mind as we hear from Jim Acosta weighing into the fact-checking scandal between Twitter and President Trump.
Twitter, shouldn't the president be fact-checked? Especially this president who has made so many false and misleading statements.
Again, this is coming from CNN, which has made so many false statements that they've had to walk back. They've had how many breaking news stories that turned out to be wrong? Is Kim Jong-un still dead? Is he still dead or did they, he's alive? Okay.
That has put, you know, fact checkers to work across the world. I mean, he's uttered some 18,000 false and misleading statements, according to the Washington Post. If there's any president out there who should be fact checked, any political leader out there should be fact checked, isn't it President Trump?
So is that a question trying to get to a news item, or is that a reporter or someone masquerading as a reporter trying to make a political point? This is the reason why the whole idea of these press briefings are silly. I wish we didn't do them anymore. There was a good time where we didn't do any. They decided to bring it back. I don't think it's necessary because regardless of who the president is, it's always a reporter jockeying for a very specific angle. They're there to make a political point, not to get a question answered. Jim Acosta is one of the worst because he always tries to make it about him.
And aren't you trying to silence fact-checking by going after Twitter like this?
Look, well, first I would say I disagree with all, if not almost all, of those assertions that you're making there. Because, look, if you're going to get into the fact-checking business, there's no one that should be fact-checked more than the mainstream media that has been continually wrong about a number of things. To give you a list of some of the most egregious ones,
that
ABC News in December of 2017 falsely reported that Flynn would testify that the president directed him during the campaign to make contact with the Russians. That was false.
And by the way, not just false, but we're relying on this, the very same outlets that she's going to be mentioning here. We're relying on their fact checkers to go after the president.
2017, your network CNN botched their WikiLeaks email exclusive and were forced to make on-air corrections. CNN's Jim Sciutto, another CNN one, dropped a fictional bombshell in 2018, July, claiming that Michael Cohen would tell federal investigators that the president knew of the Trump Tower meeting. And there are many more, not to just put the onus on CNN there. So if anyone needs to be fact-checked, I think it should be the media.
There are news outlets that make mistakes from time to time. We own up to those mistakes.
They own up to those mistakes? CNN owns up to those mistakes, you basically have to shame them into owning up. But just think about the way that they are framing this. Jim Acosta is framing this. They make mistakes. President Trump lies. CNN's breaking news. 100,000 Americans didn't have to die. They make mistakes. But whether it's Donald Trump or any other Republican, they're lying.
Not
always. I have many you guys haven't owned up to. I think it's
we do on a regular basis. The president never owns up to any of his false or misleading statements or outright lies. You have pledged in this briefing room to never lie to the American people. Are you saying that the president of the United States has never lied to the public before?
I'm around the president. His intent is always to give truthful information to the American people.
Now, what she just said there, I think, is important. Because I don't want to give off the impression I'm saying that Donald Trump, everything he says is always accurate. It's not. People do, in fact, make mistakes. The difference is how those mistakes are framed. Obama would say something that is false, and it was never a lie. It was never a lie. Very few exceptions. Very few exceptions. The media would say, oh, he made a mistake or he misspoke. President Trump is lying. They don't give him the benefit of the doubt ever because they don't like him. The president doesn't always say things that are truthful. I'm assuming sometimes he flat out lies. Same way I assumed Obama flat out lied. Politicians, regardless of whether or not they have a D or an R or, God forbid, an S next to their name, politicians lie. But only Republicans get this level of coverage from CNN and ABC News and all these other outlets. It's dishonest. There is a reason why so few Americans trust the media. I mean, why do you think that is? Why do you think when you look at poll after poll, whether it's from Zogby or from Pew, and usually the Pew Research Center does their, I think, semi-annual or two times a year, they do a review of the trustworthiness of the media. The media always comes out at the bottom of the most trusted list. Why do you think that is? It's because they lie and they're dishonest in how they frame stories. And it is so transparent. They don't hide their agenda. CNN is the worst at it because CNN still pretends that they are all about being a news network. They're not a news network. They're an opinion network. That's okay. Fox News is driven mostly by opinion and analysis. MSNBC, opinion and analysis. They have some news products, straight news products. But what they do in prime, what they're most known for, the analysis shows. CNN wants you to pretend that Don Lemon is a journalist, that Anderson Cooper is a journalist, because sometimes he's on 60 Minutes. But they're not journalists. They're analysts pretending to be journalists. And we see right through that. You're listening to The Jason Rancho. When we come back, oh my gosh, unemployed workers are demanding a timeline on when they're going to get their unemployment checks. The nerve of them to want that. We'll get into it when we return right here on KTTH.